Reading is from Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Isn't it nice at the end of that passage he continues to drive home the point of hope? Have you ever found yourself hopeless? What's that like? It stinks. How else does it feel when you're hopeless? I feel hopeless when I'm hopeless. Terrifying. Lonely. Abandoned. Say that again. Depressing. Yeah, and one of the things that God wants us to realize is when we feel hopeless, we've lost our way. So that sense and feeling of hopelessness, if God is trying to fill us with hope, if we find ourselves hopeless, then maybe we've lost our attention of what God is trying to put before us and are focusing on something else that is distracting us. And that thing that is distracting us isn't paying off the way we thought it would or should. And all of a sudden we find ourselves hopeless. We look around and like Ken was saying about his GPS. Before he had it, Ken, what did you do before you had a GPS? Burned a lot of gas. Wrong way turns. Yeah, you have to be humble enough to ask somebody when you've lost your way. And one of the things that I want us to really consider as we are heading into this new year, we have this calendar that marks things, right? We've been in our Bible class, we were talking about the Exodus. And God created a new calendar for the people. He was saying, you are now not just a tribe of people, you are a nation of people. And I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will lead you and place you into things I promised your forefathers. But one of the things that people had to realize is that, oh, yeah, we are a people connected to a history of God's promise. And if they forgot that, they would forget who they were. They would forget what God had promised them and what God promised and where he promised to lead them. And if that happened, then they would just be going through life trying to carve out for themselves a life in a way and a path that was just kind of best for them. But one of the things that we realize is that as God is trying to lead the people out of captivity, out of slavery, he didn't take them on the most direct path. He could have taken them straight up, but he didn't. He took them on a path to transform them, to get them to realize who they are, because God was going to do some amazing things on Mount Sinai to indicate his power, and not only from what he did at the Red Sea, power over one nation. He was going to demonstrate he has power over all things, calling this people to draw near, but not too near. But he was going to fight on their behalf. He says, I'm a holy people. He says, consecrate yourself, separate yourself, wash yourself. I'm a holy God, a separate God, but I'm calling you into this relationship to be your God. Will you be my people? And he tried to demonstrate to this people his power, but not just his power over the things that enslaved them, but his love to provide for them. So when you're kind of wandering through life, what's that like? Give me some examples. You know, Ken gave us his examples of being lost. What is it like for you when you find yourself lost? We talked about, yeah, scary. Why is it scary to be lost? You've lost control. You can't find your way. If I go this way, is it going to be better? Or should I go that way? Is it going to be better? I don't know which way to turn. So we look for signs of things that might indicate for us what is the best way. What else is it like? It's scary being lost. Confused. Two voices on either side in stereo. It's confusing to be lost. Because before we knew we were lost, we thought we were fine. We weren't confused. We had it all under control. But all of a sudden something happens and we realize we're not where we thought we were. That is scary. And when we get scared, what do? We panic and we start making choices that are sometimes very irrational, thinking that if I just do this, I got to do something. So this idea of when you realize you're lost, it can be full of fear, full of confusion, full of frustration. And when you were lost, what did you do besides panic? Yeah, you want to know that you're where you know you are. So you're going to find out as soon as you can. What happens if you refuse to do that? You run out of gas, end up in the middle of nowhere, and you just make things worse. Say that again, Juan. Okay, it can turn into a very long trip. You remember a few years ago when the semi truck ended up on a footpath down in downtown Milwaukee? How do you do that? Well, he was following his GPS. So what happens if you're following a source that you trust in that is leading you the wrong way? Yeah, oops. And in your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey, one of the things that God wants to do, the reason he reveals himself to us, is he doesn't want us to go the wrong way that leads to a destination that isn't what he desires for us. He wants to bless us, and he reveals and reveals and exposes the way of a life that is best for you. But now we have to say, okay, what are the things in my life that I'm using to guide my life? Career, you know, being at the top, getting praise from humanity. You know, what are those things that are leading my decisions? And as we analyze this, we have to say, okay, will those things ultimately get me on the right path? What is the right path? And how will I know I'm on it if I ever find it. Jeff?
Yeah, unfortunately, most people don't even know they're lost. And even when you would suggest to them they might be lost, like in Ken's case, they don't know if they can trust the directions that are being given.
So if you can't trust the directions you're being given, that's why some people abandon God, because the Israelites, wait a minute, why are you taking me on a path that is longer than shorter? That makes no sense to me. So there's a lack of trust. But the Bible continues to reveal God, and he's even in 1 Corinthians 10, we talked about this, he goes, these things were written to show you what God will do for you. So we have to be in the Word. We have to know where the source of clear direction is. It's God's Word, His will. And, you know, you can go out and purchase a GPS, right? We go out and purchase these items that can give us guidance. But you know what God did? He purchased you to lead you. He purchased you. It's not us running out trying to seek Him. He says, I'm going to purchase you. Christ paid the price for you. And He draws you into the kingdom of His people. And He says, now I want to lead you. But just like with the Israelites, they will only be God's people as long as they follow His lead. And when they stopped being led by God, He let them go their own way, follow their own passions, their own desires. And in Romans, he says, I gave them up to their sinful nature. Here, it's like God says, but I purchased you and I'm longing for you to get where I know what's best for you, but you keep fighting me along the way. So if you want to do it your way, I'm going to love you enough to let you go. What? Yeah, you don't want to listen, so I will let you go and do it your way and let you figure it out yourself. But like the prodigal, God is so happy when the son realizes, I really didn't know the way I was going because I just couldn't see where it was leading. And the father doesn't care about where he went. What is the one thing the Father cares about? That He returned. He knew His way back. And the Father embraces Him. So this idea that we are purchased by God. So we're either heading towards this relationship or moving away from it. And when Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us, He came as a compass. He came as a guide to lead us back into this relationship on this pathway. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He didn't say, you got to get yourself together, then follow me. He says, I'm going to make sure you're together so you can follow me. Oh, God heals us so we can follow. But so many of us think that I got to get it right before I'm able to. He says, you're not able to without me. I will heal you. I will put a new heart within you, take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We don't have to trust in our own sense of direction. We trust in His because He knows the way, because He is the way. So now as people who have come and wanted to be part of that way, we hear the echoings of one of the songs that Josh had said, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, what? It is well with my soul. So wherever you find yourself on the journey through the wilderness, on your way to the promised land, you trust the guide, you trust the shepherd. In spite of you figuring out what should happen this way or that way, just leave it alone and trust Him. Conform yourself to His will in spite of how it's going to benefit you now, because you don't know. It might cost you a lot, and it will. We're told that by following the shepherd, it'll cost us our life because it cost him his. But then we have to say, but what kind of life was I creating for myself? Oh, it wasn't leading to where he's going. So we take all the things that God has blessed us with, and we allow ourselves to whatever our vocation is or wherever he leads us in our life. As the people of God, then we say, I have a different ultimate purpose for my life. If I am blessed with much, I praise God for it. If I struggle with little, I praise God that he has provided what he has, and he has promised to provide me throughout my life. And it's not in abundance or in deprivation that we decide that God is faithful. We know ultimately, in spite of the circumstances in this world, he is faithful to transport us through this life to the next. He will allow us to cross the sea that we could not cross on our own. Jesus is the one who parts the way for us so that we can get to the promised land. And this just didn't happen twice. You know, when Joshua got him to the edge of the Jordan, it was a flood stage. And to remind this new generation, because the generation before was rebellious, this new generation, he says, I will show you again my power. They cross a body of water that they couldn't cross on their own on dry land. Because God parted the waters for them. So when you're, whatever your lot, the truth of God has taught us to say, it's well with my soul. Because I'm going to follow that pillar of fire and smoke who knows the right way, because I don't. We talked in class, it's about someone, you know, if you have a scout that goes out and searches out the land in front of you, and if they come out back and say, this is what's out there, and you go, oh, I don't believe you. Well, then why'd you send them out? It's foolishness. You send the scout out to figure out what's the lay of the land so that they come back and they can tell you the lay of the land so that you can pass through it the best you can. Christ has come down from the heavens. He has told us the lay of the land to get us back into the garden where God had first created us. He knows the lay of the land, but the question is, will we follow? So we, as his church, we are the people of God now, as Christ has left. If the Spirit of God is living in you, if you've passed through the waters of baptism, is raised in newness of life, you're sealed with his Spirit. You're on that journey. You've passed through the waters that all his peoples have passed through. Then we become signposts for the world who's lost and that don't know their way. The people either don't know better or they don't care to know better. Some people say, well, I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? The question is, aren't you a good person? Because what are you comparing that to? The question God has, are you a saved person? Are you a sealed person? Are you a clothed in Christ person? Are you a sheep of my flock person? That's what God is focused on. Because he knows in ourselves we could never be good enough. And we could never get to where we need to go without him. So we have to ask ourselves, well, who's going to bear my failings? Well, Christ says, I do. Don't worry about that. Just be thankful for what I've done and try to transform that heart that wants to do it your way to decide where you need to go and let me guide you more safely. This idea of protection. God says, I will protect my people. But then we say, well, does that mean then I won't get sick? Does that mean that there will be no death? There will be no hardship? Well, God never promised that. Because we're living in a world where there's a lot of pain, a lot of agony, a lot of darkness that is imposed on all of humanity because of its fallenness. So we understand that is the reality. But God says, I will guide you through all that if you will trust me. So we ask, what are our motives in wanting to follow Christ as his body of believers, as the church universal, the Emmanuel on this earth? We're told that our motives need to be Christ's motives. So we have to look to Christ. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, are you encouraged? I hope so. If you're not encouraged to be united with Christ, maybe you just don't realize how beneficial it is. That what he has actually done for you. Do you have any comfort from his love? If any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Jesus says, I'm trying to transform your mind. And if you do that, then you will all be one of mine. And there will be no this challenging of thought. Because it's not about, I'm going to win the argument. It's about, how can we help one another win the journey? He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Why would I want to do that? The world doesn't tell me to do that. God says, exactly, the world doesn't tell you, because the world is trying to create its own kingdoms. He says, do it my way. He says, don't look for your own interest, but the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So as the church, we have to be so immersed in what Jesus' mindset is, so that when we go out into a world of darkness, we reflect him better and better in our lives. For Jesus, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And if anybody deserves to be served, it's the Savior. But isn't it interesting, in John chapter 17, Jesus says, Father, glorify your son. He says, I have glorified him. I'll glorify him again. And Jesus says, and I'm living this life to glorify the Father. And this whole back and forth of why the Father and the Son are doing what they're doing. It's mutual glorification. But what is it going to cost the Father to have the Son glorified? What's it going to cost the Son to glorify the Father? It's selflessness. It's seeking the good of others who don't even care. It's giving up self. That is so foreign to our world. But Jesus demonstrates what it means to be in the likeness of the Father, being a full servant, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the right hand, the highest place, and giving the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in the present, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. His good purpose of transforming a fallen world. His good purpose of giving you a life that you couldn't gain on your own. God's good purpose for us. In that last verse of that Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Well, how easy is it to be filled with all joy, whatever my lot? Well, the only way I can be filled with joy, whatever my lot, is to say, it is well with my soul. because my soul has been purchased by the Savior of my world, the Savior of all humanity. So Jesus says he is the way, that he is the truth, he is the light. How do you make sure you're going the right way spiritually? Question open up for you. How do you make sure that you're going the right way? Okay, be in community. Allowing people to say, I don't think so. You need to rethink that action there. Oh, okay. That's leading me the wrong way. Yeah, you've been duped. Don't send that prince in Ethiopia your credit card number. Don't do it. So how else do we make sure we're going the right way? Trust him that he knows the way and we don't. We don't know the way. But so then what do we do then? I want to know the way. So what do I do? I need to pray. Stay in the word and pray. That God will reveal his will as you pray. Be honest with how you feel, the struggles that you're having, because God can handle it. There's one over here, Karen. Believe in him and know that he's got the right way. Jeff?
And not just for yourself, but take others with
you. And that's ultimately as Christ with us came to show us the way. Christ in us makes us a light to those in darkness. We are Emmanuel in this world. So what helps you stay committed to seeking God's truth? What's that?
Humility.
Humility. We have to be humble. What helps you stay committed to seeking God's truth? Study to show thyself approved. And I want to be approved of God because he approved of me when there's nothing to prove of me. Ugh. Remembering the love that God has for us and what he's done for us. And where in your day is your light needed the most? I want you to pray about this today and throughout the week. Because if you are a child of God and you have the Spirit of God living in you, you are a light to a world in darkness. And when you go out in various aspects of your life, you are carrying that light for them. There will be people that will be, what did Jesus say about people who hate the light? Why do they hate the light? Yeah, so there will be people that will hate that you're a light, exposing their darkness. That doesn't mean you have to go out and point out everybody's darkness, because we still have darkness within ourselves. That's not humble, right? We do it out of love. And there will be people who are longing for light. Could you remember when you weren't in the light and someone revealed to you the light, what you thought about that? It's transforming. I was lost, now I'm found. So pray about where you go throughout your week, where your light is most needed. Christ in us maintains his presence in this world. So one thing about a new year, you can't change the past years, can you? You can't relive the past years either. If it was really good, you can't relive it. If it was really bad, you don't have to go through it this year. So let it go. All you have is today. That's all you have. So what will you be today? Because what you are today sows seeds for what can happen tomorrow. And as you are a sower of God's seed, a bearer of God's light, you will be a blessing in someone's life. And you might not even realize it, to the glory of the Father. But we have to make one commitment. Jesus, let us come to know you. Because if we don't know him, we can't be like him, and we won't follow him. We won't realize his goodness, his mercy, and his love, so that we can go out and be merciful, loving, and truth-living people in spite of ourselves. If you don't know whether you're in the light or not, come find me and let's set up a time to talk. If you are a person who is a light bearer and you're struggling with that, don't struggle on your own. Be in community. People to lift you up and sustain you during those times of trouble. But whatever your need is, you can come now as we sing and give praise to the God who purchased us to guide us home. Let's stand and sing.